There's a bit of a change in person here. I trust you all have had lunch and that you are ready to continue for the afternoon. My name is Greg Schneeman, in case some of you probably don't know me. The chairperson, Eric Colwani, has got another activity he's had to go to quickly. We think just now. So we'll continue. We'll continue the rest of the afternoon's program. We're dealing with ACO now, and then after that we'll be dealing with CELC. And then after that we'll be dealing with NeoTel. But we'll try and keep it as ordered as possible, so we can try and stick to time. But then I'd like to then welcome Mr. Hasneen Motlekar and your team from ATAR. I would ask if you could introduce the team that's with you, and then we hand over to you and take us through. Thanks so much.
Good afternoon, Chairman. Good afternoon, members of the committee. Green.
I think in the meantime, just introduce the team. We do have the presentation with us. The screens will come on now, but I think we can continue.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's just the team. The team is Team One. It's myself. thank you for the opportunity to come present on behalf of OTA. We've recently celebrated our second year birthday, so we're still relatively new to the mobile industry in terms of from our peers who've been at this for quite much longer. I'll just take you through in terms of what we've done in the last 2 years, what we've innovated in terms of product, and how we're trying to meet the agenda of the committee in terms of driving the price points down to enable cheaper communication or more affordable communication across the board. In terms of, like I said, we've recently
before, can I just check, does everybody have a copy of the presentation? Great. Okay, fine.
Thanks. Like I said, we've recently celebrated our second anniversary. We've rolled out quite an extensive network. We've actually run over 2,000 base stations already up and running. We plan to close our financial year with close to 2,200 base stations. Also, interestingly, we've been able to switch a lot of our data and voice traffic to our own network. We currently have about 69% of our voice traffic running on our own network as opposed to roaming on MDN. And we have over 90% of our data traffic is currently on our network. We managed to grow our prepaid subscriber base by 54% year-on-year to just over 1 million subs. And we currently occupy about 2% of the market share. We've recently initiated the LTE trial. It's not a commercial proposition. This point is merely a test to see how effective and how fantastic in terms of throughputs we can achieve on this LTE trial. We've had roughly over 200 sites already live, looking to close the year just under 1,000 sites live and go commercial from next year in the new financial year. In terms of having been a new kid on the block, we're able to innovate every product to the market and very much not trying to follow the me-too approach from the P3. And just trying to innovate in smaller ways and bring a whole bouquet of products through to the market. One we're particularly proud of is the recent free internet tie-up with Google in terms of the Google Free Zone, where it allows any subscriber that even has a 0 cent balance on his account to able to tap into his Gmail account, tap into his Google, do some searches as well. This again enables access to the internet. Google's philosophy behind this is to tap into the next billion of internet customers, the ability to bring in those next global subscribers that have not actually touched the internet yet. The next one is the Atomall prepaid. Our esteem professor referred to it earlier. It puts us roughly in the same price point as that of CELC, and you can see at the cheapest rate at an off-peak rate is currently at 49 cents. So we've tried to actually again reset the price point for certain communication product lines. In terms of also innovative tie-up with parent is a 65 cent charge to landline numbers. It's currently the cheapest landline termination from any mobile operator to telecom. So this allows us to actually to again reset the cost of the consumer, particularly calls to fixed lines. We've heard earlier this morning discussions around the SMS and the cost of SMS. Currently we're running a 5 for 50 SMS promo. This translates to 5 SMS if you pay 4 bucks, the next 50 is actually free. So your effective rate for SMS comes down to just under 5 cents, 4 and a half cents approximately. So again, resetting the base, bring more innovative in terms of the products we bring to consumers as a whole. In terms of this particular one, is the next one is unlimited calls. We currently have the only unlimited package out there in terms of a phone based contract. For this, there is no restriction, just in terms of being able to pay the monthly fee, we'll be able to do all unlimited national roaming for a month. Again, something that we've been innovating, we're able to bring to the market first. And we've also, when we initially started, was actually taking into account the move towards tablet-based computerization and actually focus on actually putting dedicated iPad tabs out there. It refers again something we've done again first of the market. The last one is the unlimited calls to fixed line. You nominate a fixed line, there is no charge to that fixed line. We've been able to put this product in airline entire for that field. So we do pay a termination rate, but it allows for the customer again to call any fixed line for free. So it talks to the innovation and the ability to be cheeky to the market and bring a product that has not been there before. In terms of driving broadband across the mass as a whole and being able to service the under-service components of the market. Again, we've been looking at bringing prepaid data product that you can effectively normally get only in postpaid. Apparently, we've put our product on in terms of roughly 5 cents per meg. It's normally this kind of rate for normally only attributed with postpaid. And again, we're innovative in bringing this first thing to market. So again, shows that although we've been spawned out of Telkom, we're thinking about how we can actually take innovative products at a lower price point to the market and not actually just carry the Me Too scenario through in terms of development and product development. There's just one the last particular product before I hand over to my regulatory colleague is again another one in terms of 1800 Rand price point for a 1 year 120 gig. So this talks to being able to use and consume as and when, no restrictions as if you would be a postpaid contract. So we're offering this to the prepaid market, so there's the freedom of choice, freedom of movement. We do not lock in our contracts, our customers through severe contracts, so they have to look at a 2 year contract. So if the customers are happy within the first year, it talks to the ability of the customer to have choice to move between operators. So it's up to us to be nimble and actually how we continue to develop these products to market. On my end of it, I think just talk about the regulatory aspects.
Chairperson, thank you very much, members of the committee. So the first couple of slides on the team just show to the committee that I have initiated and launched a number of products aimed at making communication more affordable, even prepaid communication. So first couple of slides address the issue of cost of communication. Although now we have more specifically the issue of mobile termination rates and the impact of that on the cost of communication. Just to give a brief history of mobile termination rates, you'll see there are three different lines. The first one, the green one, is Telkom's fixed termination rate basically over the last 15 odd years. The orange one, or the yellow one there, is the rates that Vodacom and MTN initially charged one another before Cell C's entry, and you can see the jump in 1998 and how it went up. And of course, the blue rate is the rate that Telkom as a free operator had to pay over to the mobile operators. And you'll see from that, over the last 15 years, basically, MTN and Vodacom has benefited from high termination rates. And this has been a very important income stream for them to build their business and to improve their competitiveness. We believe that ADAS as the newest entrant have many difficulties that it has to overcome in order to be more successful and to be more competitive. First of all, and very I think clearly, ADAS has to compete with very well established incumbent operators that have been in the market for 15 years, they had a head start, they have been able to recover their initial investment cost, etc., etc. So in addition to that, they benefited from high mobile termination rates for the last 15 years. The time path as proposed by what is following is actually at its current levels already below 8,000 new entrants cost per minute, right? So already they basically start with a backlog. And in addition to that, 8 also does not have very valuable below 1 gig spectrum necessary in order to compete with the mobile operators. All of this, I think, in essence, is trying to say that ALAR likely starts with a significant competitive disadvantage. So what has really happened since the introduction of the glide path or mobile termination rate? We certainly have seen some retail price reductions. However, it's not clear to us whether these reductions were really the result of, pass through to consumers, or perhaps more importantly, through price competition, specifically from ATAR and CLC. And the contention here is that ultimately consumers will benefit only through increased competition will receive the benefits of lower prices. And the point we try to make here as well is that ATAR, the new entrant, should be given higher asymmetrical rates, which will allow it to become more competitive with the incumbent operators. So looking at it from a policy-making point of view, we think that there's perhaps two significant ways of improving the competition, and that is, for one, with dealing with the whole issue is to say, well, let there be a metric mobile termination rate. The other one is basically to eliminate any payments made to another operator for terminating costs on that operator's network. This methodology has different names, and some instances refer to as sender keeps or SKA sender keeps, or some people call it bill and keep. So basically you bill your own customer, but you don't pay anything over to your competitor or the party on which network you are terminating. Now, that may seem strange at first, but the benefit of that is that all operators are then competing for retail customers and offering reduced rates to most retail customers. We also believe that the current glide path proposes a decrease in asymmetry in things worth 10%, and we would like to propose that in order to promote competition and to have more effective competition between the operators, that asymmetry should actually be increased. If you, for example, look at the current rate, the asymmetry afforded to ATAR and CLC is about 8 cents. So CLC and ATAR can charge MTN Vodacom 8 cents more for call termination than Vodacom MTN can charge them. However, after the next drop, that 8 cents will drop to 4 cents. No, and we just believe that that is not sufficient in order to promote competition, especially for a new entrant. I think this slide just explains it a bit more graphically. So previously, or currently, it's termination rate on Vodacom MTN's network is 56 cents, and ATAR itself is allowed to charge a markup, MU markup, of 15% on that rate, which is currently at 10, and it will reduce to 4 cents, which would limit CLC and ATAR's ability to actually compete more effectively with incumbent operators. In the extreme case, if termination rates would be scrapped, we believe that there would be no justification to have different rates for on-net and off-net calls. And in essence, that would also allow small operators to compete more effectively. And the result of that would be price reductions for retail consumers. I simply just to briefly deal with this in more detail. It's nothing new. Okay, it's been done in many countries for many years. We've done it for the last 2 years. And you can see the many countries have allowed asymmetry for extended periods. Some have been up to 10 years, whilst it's not clear to us what the current glide path until when the asymmetry would be allowed. And in terms of percentages, in some countries, the asymmetry is up to 60%. I think the average is about something like 50-odd percent. So clearly, there's a lot of international precedents where a lot of different policymakers and regulators have thought this through and said, well, in order to provide customers with a benefit of lower prices, the tool that we are going to use is we are going to increase competition. How will we increase competition? By giving the new entrants asymmetry. Just to perhaps summarize international lessons, there's a lot of precedent where a fourth entrant has been allowed asymmetry, and often the differential between a third entrant and a fourth entrant is not necessarily the same. And these asymmetries usually last for a period anything from between 3 to 8 years. Just to have to reiterate, Chairperson, the importance of asymmetric rate. The higher termination rates are, the better large incumbent operators are off because a lot of calls will terminate on their networks. And symmetric termination rates actually puts new entrants at a competitive disadvantage. So we believe that asymmetric termination rates, which is the current methodology, promotes fair competition. It's the right thing to do. We are just calling for an extension of that. Of course, we also, it's important that incumbents should not retaliate or be allowed to actually use off-net charges to discourage calls to new entrants. In conclusion, and you'll be glad to hear that our presentation is almost done, much shorter than the fixed line presentation. In conclusion, ASA supports the principle of cost-oriented termination rates. It's also important that entrants should be allowed to fully recover the cost of their network. We'll fix existing mobile termination rates. ASA is already undercovering these costs, and it's just because when you start a new business like that, there's extremely high startup costs. So your per unit cost for a call is actually very high. It's much higher than operators that have been in the market for 15 years and have been able to recover some of their costs. Incumbents should not be allowed to discourage calls to new entrants by using differential off-net charges. And we believe that ATAR, new entrants, specifically ATAR, should be given asymmetrical mobile termination rates. And this will allow ATAR to compete more effectively with the incumbent operators. And the result of that would be lower profits for consumers. Chairperson, I think that is the end of that presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I mean, that was a very short, to-the-point presentation. Now, take it on the time that you save your cost saving onto your clients as well. On a lighter side, but thank you very much. And some rather interesting points that you're raising as well, that I'm sure that as a committee you would want to engage on a bit later. But thanks very much. I'm not going to waste time here. Let me move straight on to, we've got Celsius is next. If the team from Celsius could come forward and do their presentation, I'll introduce those from Celsius, but let's allow them to set up.
Quite a lot has been said today, and I have to say, the presentation is really excellent, and and very informative. From that point of view, I just need to first answer Addison's question to me, and that was, yes, it is true. As I said, that I was saying it, in, of course, in the context of the Whippet effect, on which independent research has been done over a number of years in a number of countries, not many, but nevertheless, where retail rates didn't tick up when MTRs came down. I don't think that that's necessarily the case for every country in the world, but it certainly was the result of that research. In the case of Toka, I thought your presentation was good. It was a kind of based a lot around being fourth entrant, but please remember you were the first entrant. You chose to be the fourth entrant by selling your first kind of entrant, if you like. So, yeah. What goes around comes around. Yeah. Anyway. And since I worked in both of those companies, I know a little bit about them. That's very interesting. Okay, so this is slide right. This is the team we brought with us, not really relevant. So Rob Casey is on my left. Okay, right. I thought I'd just kind of go back a little bit because the history is important. In 1994, Telkom had been around for plus minus 100 years. They had connected 4 million customers. They gained 70% of Africa's traffic. They did have a mobile network since 1986. The cost of a mobile phone in 1993 was some 15,000 rand. In today's prices, it's 45,000 rand, which probably explains why they had 15,000 customers. And it was limited metro coverage, so you know that's where we came from. In 1994, the brief for the mobile industry was quite simple. They had to grow penetration through subscriber growth coverage and the competition. And yes, there were only two players, but it was certainly better than one player. The barriers to entry were physical distribution, benefiting. That became a big issue in the aftermath of apartheid, where the vast majority of South Africans could not be accredited since they'd never been part of a accrediting system before. And for that reason, prepaid largely was developed in South Africa on iron metal. Handset prices, which had come down dramatically by then, in 1994, from 15,000 to 2,000, which is still 6,000 rand today's prices, was a barrier to entry and had to be done away with, and that is where the handset subsidies came into play, and which are still part of our kind of industry today, and probably not necessary anymore, but certainly were necessary in the early days. And that barrier to entry was, of course, the coverage footprint to cover a large part of the country was not easy. Where we're not penetration, depending who you talk to, is somewhere around 90%. A lot of people have more than one SIM card, that's true, but what we tend to forget is that many machines are using SIM cards. So we have a lot of machine-to-machine communication. You just have to think about car tracking, you've got to think about alarms in houses, opening electric gates. SIM cards are used not just by people anymore, they're used a lot by machines, and we should remember that. It does mean that the growth of data is really infinite, and that the customers of data are not just going to be human beings, they're going to be more and more inanimate objects. We have a widespread infrastructure access today, more than 90% of the population covered. I do think that is commendable for the country. The handsets are affordable, they're down to $10, so people can afford them. It's, 80 rand, or maybe it's 90 rand, I'm not sure. We do have an extended distribution footprint. We have four mobile phones, but the cost to communicate remains high. And the cost to communicate, it's really easy to measure. You just have to look at countries around the world and compare ourselves to them. And bear in mind that South Africa was one of the first countries in the world to introduce digital mobile communication in the form of GSM. I remember the only other African country that was with us or actually lead us to the starting post was actually the Cameroon. And so, there's no real good excuse for us to be, almost 20 years into industry and have one of the highest costs of communication in the world. The role of the third and fourth operators, one has to ask the question, what is the point, what was the point of licensing Saucy, what was the point of licensing Ada? Since we already had coverage in the country, the point is simply to bring down the cost of communication. And the way that they bring down the cost of communication is through competition. But that requires a sustainable business model, it requires meaningful market power. It's very difficult, as the previous gentleman have very clearly explained, it's extremely difficult to compete with a Vodacom and MTN, which are two very powerful, well-run companies, is difficult to compete when you're signing up, and the FX outlay is massive. The substantial barriers to competition from incumbents, the dominant infrastructure base of the incumbents, that their dominant distribution base, and, you don't, and I heard in one of the talks this morning, I heard someone refer to that, you know, do not underestimate the power of the distribution as an anti-competitive or something that makes it really difficult for new players to get into the market. It is a powerful distribution base in South Africa, and well managed and well controlled and well set up by Vodacom and MTN. I have to say, you all have not, underestimate the ability to outspend the new incumbents in terms of branding and marketing. Branding and marketing in today's world of this instrument or mobile phone, which is really just a commodity, is absolutely is key. And if you really, if you don't have money to compete on the spend, it's very difficult to compete properly. The high mobile or MTRs puts an effective floor under the retail competition, and so I'll just show you how that works. I have to sit in on the other side of things that make me see this industry slightly differently, as you would expect, but I guess that's the point of moving across the floor in Parliament too, sometimes. And on-net call pricing, you know, routinely offer mobile terminal rates, and I'll just stop on-net call pricing for a moment. It is something which we as a country need to, you know, address. It is true that, you know, as the networks get bigger and their customer bases get larger and they become really the dominant players in the industry, that their cost to carry a call on their networks is certainly less than to put onto the next network if you have a high MTR. And therefore you have low on-net prices. And the on-net prices just simply prevent effective competition. And every time you prevent effective competition, you prevent or stop the ability to bring down the cost of communications, which is the whole point of bringing third world operators into the game. So, yeah, I think we should always just remember, why did we bring the third and fourth operators into the game? We brought them in the game to bring the cost down. We're using them to bring the cost down through effective competition. We have to make sure that they're able to compete on an equal footing. And they are not going to be able to compete on an equal footing when they come into the industry in 12, 15 years later. I thought I'd just quickly show you that graph. If you were trying to find, this is the kind of cost to communicate. This is from the ITU report from 2012 that reflects 2011. That little red line almost right at the end of the graph. I think we rated 98th or 99th most expensive country out of 115 in the world. I mean, that is rather shocking, I think. I mean, you know, considering that this country pioneered GSM mobile communications very much in the 90s, including things like prepaid. For us to find ourselves in this position now is an indictment against all of us. So I thought I'd just give you some graphs. A lot of these graphs have actually been shown in one way or another, but let me give you my version. From the launch of 1994, the mobile operators grew greatly, some penetration exceeding 100% by late 2008, which is when I became a pensioner, and then I retired from being a pensioner and now working again. But you can also see that, you know, as soon as I retired, they introduced Rika, and then that's why you get that big red wobble there, where the whole industry went in like a little bit of a nosedive. I'm not sure what happened, because they've kind of transferred, I think they just kind of figured out how to outrigger Rika. But anyway, you know, Rika was the reason for that. And one of the things I think we need to question decisions we make as we go on as an industry. And maybe that's one of the decisions we need to question, you know. How much good has Rika actually done and how much cost has it added to the cost to communicate? I thought I'd just show you the symmetric comparison. The ADA colleagues have, you know, shown it. I don't think they've shown it quite as well as they could have shown it. But the fact of the matter is that the symmetry was introduced into this country in 1993. It is not a new thing. So we were one of the first countries in the world to introduce symmetry, and the symmetry was 400%. It wasn't 10% or 15% or 50%. It was 400%. And today, it remains 400%. Vodacom and MTN still enjoy an asymmetrical rate with the telecom fixed line of, you know, close to 400%. Now, you know, we have to question whether that is relevant or necessary anymore. And in my view, it's not. Symmetry is introduced when you have new players coming into the market. And the reason it's introduced is because the upfront costs are so high and it takes time to catch up. And it takes time to catch up and compete. And one of the ways that you help new entrants into the market is you give them a symmetry. In the case of South Africa, which was one of the most successful countries in the world in introducing I'll show you some of the figures, you know, how that helped Vodacom MTN. And there's nothing wrong with it, it helped them. It was very successful. It's just sometimes difficult for me to understand why we simply don't repeat that which we did first in the world and which we did 18 years ago. So, if we just carry on. So you can see what's actually happening in this country is that the whole idea of introducing competition to bring down prices has actually worked. I mean, the market share of the players has pretty much been steady, you know, since around about 2004 to 2012. Not much has happened. In fact, the only thing that has actually happened is that ever since you reduced the MTRs, the revenues of, or at least of C, have declined, and as I showed, the profits of Vodacom and MTN have increased. So the reason that small players never fight or really fight high MTRs in a very highly asymmetric market is because they are the biggest beneficiaries of high MTRs. And it's counterproductive. It's a short-sighted view to take. And that is the result of that view. You know, to the country, we have four players. We're the 100th most expensive country in the world. We haven't been effective in our competition. And as regulators in the country, we've probably missed the trick or two. I thought I'd just quickly show you. So if you look at the subsea pricing from the first half of 2009 until where we are right today, that's a 72% decrease in pricing. And much of that pricing tracked the decrease in MTRs. It is a significant decrease. I mean, the only question one really has to ask is subsea, you know, being a new entrant, I mean, I must say they're getting a bit old in the difference of being a new entrant, but nonetheless, I classify them as a new entrant because as a mature was only granted to this company, you know, 2 years ago. So you want to measure the life of a new entrant, you measure from the time that the regulator puts measures in place to ensure that that company can be competitive. So it really is a two-year-old company and not that much older than eight. And the big question is, well, if these prices can be reduced that dramatically by companies which are in a much less favorable financial position, then why is the rest of the industry not doing the same? I also want to just show you that, since as many people keep pointing out to me, they always have the right memory for the wrong things, is that the cost of prepaid is, you know, typically always being higher than the cost of contract. 3 rand 50, if I remember correctly, from actually some time before 2009. But what we've managed in Solsea now over the past 6 months is actually get those two tariff plans converged as they should. So that prepaid and contract customers enjoy the same price. And I can think of absolutely no reason why the country as a whole, the industry as a whole, doesn't follow that example, if you like. On the other hand, the Vodacom and MTN prepaid rates have remained pretty much at 2 rand 75, whichever way you want to measure it. And you know, one thing we have to bear in mind when we measure these rates is if we measure on a per, you should measure all rates on a per second basis. It's a nonsense to measure any rates if it's not per second for every single minute of every single call. That is the way to compare rates. That's the way to measure the cost of communication. That is why we think we are cheaper than we are, but we are one of the most expensive countries in the world. On the post-paid prices, you know, really pretty steady from 2009 to 2012, which is the period when MTRs decreased. The question people ask is, what if they not pass that decreased, you know, number of terminating rates onto consumers? Because generally that's not what businesses do. And I think someone made a really good point is that in Sushi's case, it was not an attempt to pass the reduction in the MTR through to the consumer. It was displaced at the reduced MTR KSLC to reduce their prices to gain market share. And there's a whole different ballgame. It's not, no company, including SLC, at least no company that's trying to put up actual shoulders, does very many charitable things. And passing through MTR just for the sake of it is a charitable thing to do. The reason that we have lower rates is so that we can gain market share. But the reason that we can drop the rates is because you've dropped MTR. It's the other way around. So the further you drop the MTR, the more space to give the small players to compete and bring the price down. And they will only ever bring the price down once they get market power. And market power is pretty much defined in terms of market share. So the bigger the market share they get, the more big letters they take notice, the better the chance of the cost of communication going down. This is a stone in the other direction, so this one's for Carl. I didn't draw the slide, but I thought it was interesting. And that is this, you know, when we measure the cost to communicate, you know, measuring the cost of promotions and measuring the cost of kind of quirky or tricky ways of getting a price down is not a way to measure cost of communication. Cost of communication should be a tariff that is being lodged and that is visible and that is always available. And I think this was just a lighthearted attempt to show that the zone tariffs, you know, looking at zone tariffs and bringing them into a calculation to indicate a reduction in the cost of communication is not correct. The cost of communication should always be measured against the real demand. And the real demand, if you go back 7 years, it has been absolutely consistent. That is when consumers want to communicate precisely on those hours. And what you really have to measure is, and by the way, you know, Celsi is no instant in this. We also take advantage of the traffic periods to provide lower prices. But that is not what determines the cost of communication is determined by the real demand period. And the real demand period is consistently measuring over a period of time, 6+ years, when consumers want to communicate. And that happens to be the graph for South Africa. So when you measure within that real demand period, that is when you will come to real cost to communicate. So I think I've just kind of said it again. It causes conclusions that they are very aware that the cost of communication is far too high in this country. Nominal retail tariffs have not dropped because they reflect an effective industry tariff that has come down. But this is due more to free or cheap traffic than any reduction in underlying tariffs. And I'm talking about all of us operators. I'm not singling any operator out. This is just a way in which things should be measured and done. The cost of communication should not be based on promotion. The real event should only consider where an underlying demand exists. And underlying demand is absolutely rock steady when you go back 6-8 years. The key reason that the true cost of communication remains high is a lack of competition. This will not change without any active regulatory intervention. If the regulatory body in the country doesn't actively, you know, ensure that we have a robust competition in the country, you will not get the cost to communicate down. It's just not going to happen. The impact of the MTR reductions and incumbents, so I was interested to see that a number of people highlighted this. We just highlighted it's slightly different. And, you know, based on those graphs, it's quite clear that the EBITDA margins for both MTN and Vocom have increased significantly since you dropped the MTR. So I think you'd be doing a huge rally if you simply dropped the MTR to zero. And the EBITDA margins would go through the roof. This is not a deduction that I'm making. This is a statement, at least from Vodacom in their last results. They said that the increased margin was due to the fact that the MTRs had reduced, which I found an interesting statement to make if you're trying to keep them up. Next one. I thought I'd just see, and somebody, a gentleman from Mikasa, verbally told you about this. It looks better visually, I think, so I'll just put it up there. So when you take this is an extreme case, of course, but nonetheless, if you take LC's current tariff of 99 cents, well, government takes 12.2% in VAT off that, so that goes straight to Minister Gordon, as it should. The distribution channels chew up 26% of that 99 cents. The MTR is at 56 cents, so you've got, I think, 4.8 cents left to build a network and do your marketing. And then national roaming kind of just takes you right down into some dark hole, which you hope to escape from one day. It is clear from that you're not going to decrease tariffs. And if somebody manhandles some of those huge, big input costs, and I'm deliberately not showing input costs like CapEx and those kind of things, because those are not under your control. But the ones that are under your control, MTR, and as you can see, that's the biggest input cost in that call. And national roaming, just happens to be, if you take national roaming and MTR together, it's more than the price we charge the consumer. Unless you hammer those two things, you're not going to get the input cost down, and if you do not get input costs down, you will never get the price down, at least not in a sustainable manner. So how does this, what is the relative significance of Net? So if you take the Celsius case, 20% of our traffic stays on net and 80% of our traffic goes off net. That's what you would expect. Celsius has about 10-12% market share, so we expect most of its traffic relatively important part in the cost of 80% of the calls, and which can absolutely not be ignored. When you take the Vodacom case, 61% of their traffic is on it. It is not subject to MTRs. So their exposure to MTRs, no matter what they are, is limited. And what actually happens is that, and this is not particular to South Africa, countries around the world tried until the regulator steps in. But until the regulator steps in, they always try it. And the fact of the matter is that the 61% is on-net traffic. And the way that you keep new entrants out of the market is you ensure that that on-net traffic is lower than MTRs. And in that way, new entrants simply just never stand a chance, which is one of the reasons that you have the symmetry. So, problem is, hop on. So the index of MTR reduction on small operators. Small operators benefit from high MTRs in a normal environment. And if the MTR went to zero, that would have a negative impact of minus 2.8% on source EBITDA and probably a bigger impact on ADA's EBITDA and a far greater impact on a brand new entrant, should such an entrant come to the market. So whether the small operators need low MTRs, this change in itself could destroy them. So if you were to bring up MTRs down to zero, you may very well destroy the very instrument that you've created to bring about competition, whose sole purpose is really to bring down the price. So you cannot look at MTRs in a very bland manner. MTRs and asymmetry go hand in hand. In markets where entrants have entered the market at different times, especially when the period between those different times has been large. So do not think that simply by making MTR zero that you will not have casualties. You will have casualties, and the biggest casualties will be that you will not reduce prices to consumers. I always wonder why people don't question more why it's possible for Celsi to have lower tariffs to international destinations than if we're just calling each other across the room. And I did hear someone have an explanation for that, which it was not a correct explanation. I think they said competition is the reason. It's not the reason. The reason that we have lower international call rates is because the ATRs to other countries are lower. So when you call the United States, we pay them 4 cents a minute. We do not pay them 56 cents a minute. And the truth be told is our margins on international calls are higher than our margins on national calls. And that cannot be right. You know, especially when we're looking at, you know, four big countries like the United Kingdom, States, China, India. They cannot have MTRs so much lower than South Africa. We should not have a situation where it is cheaper to phone anywhere in the world except right across the street in your own country. That just shows that there's something very, very wrong with our current regime. And I mean, the one thing that didn't make me feel good when I listened to the customer presentation was, and I do have sympathy with the guys on this, and I've said so many times, is that the process to kind of change these things is 14 months. 14 months is too long. You know, by the time 14 months is finished, the ship has left. It's all over. And the amount of money available to CASA to do this work has got to be more substantial. You know, if we as a country are really serious about bringing down the cost of communication, then it's a national imperative. It's important for education. It's important for health. It's important for so many things. It's important for bringing broadband to our rural communities. Well, then I think we should be able to dig a little deeper into our pockets as a country and ensure that they have funded purposes that they can do their work to their best ability. So I hope you remember that little plan to give you an answer. I'm adding, keep a score. The impact of MTR asymmetry on Celsi. Well, I just showed you that we didn't have much asymmetry when it came between the southern operators. So the impact of that asymmetry benefited Celsi by 3%. But the more interesting part is that it only adversely affected Vodacom and MTN by minus 0.4%. So, and you have reduced the MTRs by more than half. If it has that minor impact, it's really, I mean, we are just way above where we should be. And the sooner we get to where we should be, the more competitive we're going to be as a country. So I really hope this 14 months was to get some more money out of the government and not a real number. If you ask the analysts, and this comes from analysts, when they look at this country and when they look at the regulatory environment in this country, this is their prediction for market share going forward over the next number of years. And as you can see, they did foresee the market share changing. Why not? Because we don't have any aggressive instruments in place to enhance the competition and get the cost of communication down. The impact of earlier meteorist imaging, I thought I'd just point that out. And, this is public information. This is not kind of, this is, as I say, public information, so anybody can go and find it. It's interesting to see that in the year 2000, which was about the time when the number of mobile phones in the country exceeded the number of fixed line phones in the country, that of Vodacom's 36.3 EBITDA, 20.8% was due purely to asymmetry. That is massive. That is one of the reasons that the company were able to build such a successful company. The thing we got wrong was we never knew when to stop the asymmetry coming. The switch just went on and on and on, but, you know, and actually it exists today still when you consider Vodacom. Without asymmetry, Vodacom's EBITDA would have been 15.5% in the year 2000. So I'm just trying to show you the power of asymmetry in getting small players onto their feet and competitive. The last thing I just wanted to talk about is really just data and the future of data in our country. It is a national imperative, and it's been said many times by governments that they want broadband data, high-speed data, to be available to every single person in this country, to every single place in this country, and they want it to be available at a very low price. Now, I guess what some of us may have forgotten is that in the 90s, the most popular speed to communicate, I'm trying to find some old people here, I don't find, maybe the chairman of the cast and I are about the same age now, but in the 90s, you know, the most popular speed was 1200 bits per second. And we were all kind of comfortable. We were happy with 1200 bits per second. Now we wouldn't be seeing dead with 1200 bits per second. In the mid-2000s, the speeds kind of got up to 3 megabits per second, 5 megabits per second. Today, you should be able to get between 3 and 10 if you're lucky, and if you're in the right place, and if you're standing under the right tree and so on and so forth. When we bring LTE onto the map, we are talking about speeds which should go up to 100 megabits per second. When speeds get to 100 megabits per second, consumers are going to consume a lot more data. If they consume a lot more data at today's prices, their bills are going to go through the roof. We have to reduce the prices of data in line with the increase of speeds. So you know, as a very simple example, if we increase the speed by a factor of 1,000, we need to reduce the price by a factor of 1,000. Is that possible? Well, we've certainly done it in the past. In 2003, the price per meg in this country was 8.40. The price today for a meg in this country is between 3 and 5 cents. LTE is simply a precursor to LTE Advanced. And LTE Advanced provides speeds to the consumer up to a gigabit, 3 gigabits per second. That is very fast. It is naive to think that the current operators can each build LTE and LTE Advanced networks in the country and then provide those networks to every single person, institution, every school, every hospital in the country at a very low price, at this very high speed. This is simply not going to happen. And so what I'm suggesting in this slide is that as a country, we look forward and we plan that we have a single wholesale high-speed broadband network whose footprint is determined by ICASA, whose wholesale price is determined by ICASA, and people compete at retail level and service level on that. That's the only way this country is going to get broadband to every single person. It's the only way we're ever going to get that cost down to levels which are acceptable to people that live in this country. And I think that was...
Can I just repeat again what cost?
About that. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think the first step is not ICASA's, but the first step is government. Government has to have a plan. You know, government has to have a coherent plan about how broadband is going to be brought to the country to every single square kilometre, and that's essentially what we want to do. It has to be in all the rural areas at the same quality as in the metropolitan areas. And one of the reasons for that is not just the people that live there individually, but it's to get to the schools. We cannot think that we're going to improve education in this country unless we have, you know, proper broadband available to every school at an affordable rate in this country. It is naive to think that we can improve the health in this country if we do not have high-speed broadband at an affordable price at every clinic in this entire country. And to do that, government needs to lay down a plan. ICASA just executes the plan. And I'm just suggesting that, you know, government should think a little bit about that, about a plan. I'm pretty sure they are. It's not ICASA's responsibility to set a plan. It's only their responsibility to execute a plan like that. So, going forward, our quick solutions, just helping things along a little here. Solutions, first of all, reduce the MTR to 15 cents. That's double most countries in the world. You know, don't faff around and please don't take 24 months. You know, but then some of us may be dead. we want to get this thing on the go. There is absolutely nothing with the 4-to-1 ratio for the symmetry, which is 400% symmetry. It exists today. today the largest operators in this country enjoy a 400% asymmetry. Why on earth should the smallest operators which you've introduced in the country not enjoy the same asymmetry? So why supportive one might look very robust here? It is robust. That's how you build robust companies, that's how you build robust competition, that's how you get prices down. We should have regulation to prohibit on-net and off-net price discrimination. So it should be mandated to have flat rates throughout the country. Consumers, once you introduced 14, and that was good, and it's working very well. But the fact of the matter is, it is difficult for many consumers in this country to know who they're phoning anymore. So for them to know what price they are incurring when they make a phone call is for many South Africans not possible. So the way you correct that and the way that many countries have corrected that is to mandate flat rates. No off-net rates, which are anti-competitive anyway, and the discrimination against new entrants, and really what you do to the consumer is to give them a very transparent, clear tariff which everyone can understand. And then finally, the point I've just made, German, which is a national broadband company, which really goes on the principles which I've just described. Thank you very much, sir.
Microphone, thank you very much. I think that was another very interesting and informative presentation. And in fact, before you got to almost the end, I was just saying to Timmy and Corsia, why isn't nobody saying what the MTRH should be? And I'm quite glad that you've raised that in your presentation, because I was going to ask the question before you even got to that. So, but thank you very much. Thanks very much. I believe that there's tea and coffee outside, and I'm told if we carry on it's going to get old. So let's take about a 15 minute break. Let's take a 15 minute break. So we can come back and put a pause, and then we'll take a presentation from the adult. Thanks very much.
But whatever said before I come back has done something with his house, or has made this house to get talking. Because really big people, they seem to be talking. I don't know who presented last, but whoever that person may be, indeed has made sure that this house starts to talk. And we seem to be starting to talk now on issues which affect the cost to communicate in this country. I'm told next is Neotech. They will be presenting. The man which I was told that is one of the gurus around issues of spectrum. The few we have in the country. Neotech?
Thank you, Chairperson, committee members. And also, ladies and gentlemen,
you can confirm whether you are or not. Don't try.
Yeah, I think there might be more people that are much more qualified than me to talk about these things. Firstly, I just want to apologize for our team, and I think Dr. Trey Cohen, Dr. Angus, and Dr. Martin Shepherd. They were on their way here, and because of the change of province in, because I'm now taking care of the they basically prefer me to do the presentation and also to cut down the cost of flight, cost of communication. and also just an apology from our CEO.
I think that's the end.
From your point of view, and I think if you look at our presentation, it's very short. We've got about 4 or 5 slides. And also our submission to the committee. It's exactly the same submission that we made to ICASA on the data that they expect from us. And I think possibly maybe it was an oversight in ICASA not to present that information when they presented that this morning on the slides on the different operators. Chair, as you know, we basically really, really support this, the general cost to reduce it. And I think we believe that we don't just talk about it, we actually did it. I will just get through to 1 or 2 slides. Thank you, just to illustrate that we did reduce the cost for the retail prices and also for reflected on the cost to consumer. And I think we also support to a large extent competition in this market. The other thing that we do not believe in is that government should encourage sharing and also really look at the deployment guidelines or regulations that everybody was talking about this morning. And I think that that's a very important issue for us because it basically contributes a lot to the cost of communication and rolling out of networks. So our next slide is going to just give you a quick summary on what we did. In fact, first of all, commission rates, the introduction of that. We reduced our calls to mobile operators by 40%. It's quite a substantial amount. Reduction very little on the fixed line side to call from Utah to Taco. We reduced by 10% on the national long distance. But again, I think from a user point of view, we believe that the rate on the fixed line is as competitive as it is at the moment. Our next slide, in fact, basically the slide, and I think you don't have the slide in a written document, but this is a slide that basically just give you a quick view on what we talk about in terms of the reduced cost since the introduction of the call termination regulations. If you look further down the line, and all calls to mobile operators for the neutral is starting, the retail rate is 92 cents. And basically, and that's got a direct correlation to the reduction of call termination rates on our side. So, like I said, we didn't talk about it. We actually just reduced the cost and it's reflected on the retail pricing to the consumer. And in terms of the slide, it was actually developed by an economist. And basically, in terms of between the 62 cents that we reduced since 2010 and now until 2012, that's a 62 cents on the retail pricing or the retail rate that we actually reduce the cost. There's a direct relationship between the actual retail price reduction and also the call termination rate reduction of 69%, and we believe that we passed through 90% of call termination rate reduction in terms of the slide. On this slide, as you can see on the retail rate, we used to differentiate between the MTN Vodacom, Cell C, and Telkom Mobile, but in March 2012, basically the retail rates are the same for all calls terminating on the mobile. We still have the asymmetric call termination rate or a tariff for the different markets in terms of MTN Vodacom, Cell C, and Telkom Mobile. Jen, this basically on this is basically our almost our last slide. For Utah, we also passed on to consumers the retail for off-peak on the neutral on-net services is free, and that's in the off-peak period. So, that goes all for our post-paid and pre-paid customers. So that basically reflects on that side. We reduced the national cost from 50 cents to 45 cents, which is about a 10% reduction on retail pricing. Telkom. But like I said earlier, is that everybody talks about water vested pay tax and all kinds of things, but we implemented the regulation and we actually passed that reduction through to the consumer. I wish to emphasize that we will fully support the reduction of the cost, and I think from a neutral point of view, I think we believe that it can possibly be reduced further. Again, the council will, after the 3-year period, will do a review on that, and then we'll take the process forward from there onwards. Chair, I think, point that I want to make here is just the limitation on the network, and I think this is a question that was asked to me earlier, and I'm just talking the presentation itself. But actually at the moment on the consumer side, due to the diesel migration delay, we're actually sharing the 800 megahertz spectrum with broadcasters, and which affect our rollout of our consumer network on CDMA side, which is the CDMA network, which is possibly the most cost-effective in terms of voice calls. So, Chair, that is one of the issues that's actually delaying us to get to other areas where the broadcast actually using the spectrum. So, one of the issues which we would like to just to call up on the authority to expedite the migration process, and also call on the government to expedite that. Chair, and I think earlier on there was mention about the ITU. Just to touch on that is that as we're speaking at this year, there's a WPSA workshop or meeting conference in Dubai, and next week I think I can also touch on that. There are various resolutions that will be passed at the conference, the weekend conference, the World Conference on International Telecommunications, which has got a direct impact on cost, and I think it's important that the DoD, CASA, and industry actually attend this conference, because it has got quite a significant impact on the cost, where various countries in Africa actually proposing some taxes on calls or calls to be terminated in country. And I think it's something that we just have to be very careful about how do we deal with that. But just to buy that in conclusion, again, I need to support entirely this process. Thank you.
Thank you. That was quick and short. I will say thank you. I realize you are not short. Thanks very much. I know you are always on one to talk about your expertise on the issues of spectrum. I find you somewhere in one country, one point at a time in a panel debating the spectrum issues, and they call you an expert. So I'm not sure whether when you arrive in South Africa the expert part falls away. When you go international, you take the care of it, and you leave it at the airport, I don't know. But then it's okay. It's one of those issues. That was the presentation from Newton. Honorable Mruto, I don't know. He has not yet reached the age yet. Don't leave too much to that, but no, dear, no, but I'm told that in terms of the program and the additional two presentations, that's where we'll end today in terms of the presentation. And the two remaining one is Vodacom and MTN. Who's starting first between the two? Because Vodacom will be starting, but there seems to be difficult. Everyone wants to be the last one. I don't know what the problem, but I'm told Vodacom will be starting and MTN will be the last one tomorrow to give us the presentation. Remember, this is where we are today. Probably if there are issues, members they might want to engage at the camp. But we tried, the indication was that we want to engage after all the presentation has been received, because then we don't want to start to ask questions, then people are still going to present and start to preempt things and come with presentation which suits our line of question. We wanted to get everything where we ask questions once and so on around those particular matters. So if that is the understanding, members, it would mean tomorrow you are looking roughly to finish. It will depend on the issue of the questioning and so on, but we can finish around 2 if we don't go for lunch and then break at 2 for good. But like I'm saying, it will depend on the questioning, but roughly around there. Which also help us to have more time and possible to be able to fly out of Cape Town to go and continue other business which we have to embark at and so on. Otherwise, ETG for communications, politics, bikes, and your team. chairperson of ICASA, fellow councillor, and your executive. Prof, the native who caused all troubles in terms of that move. Prof, thank you very much. Telkom, led by Ubabu Mahmoud. And I'm told it should be Kutsie. Kutsie. On behalf of Telkom, ETA, and then CELC. Between ETA and CELC, one of the two they've caused problems. Because I didn't hear their presentation, but when I came back after their presentation, there was a lot of problems and discussions and so on. I'm not sure which one between the two. We have stimulated the house and so on. And also in your term and your team, I think that's where we go as far as today. We should be, I hope everyone is still going to be here tomorrow when we enter the discussion session. But like I've said, the effect of the matter cost to communicate in South Africa is too high. I don't think there is any amount of say people will say before us here which will move us to believe that. The question which all of us must be preoccupied with is that how do we bring down the cost to communicate? Any other thing we suggest that the cost where it is now is okay, that's abnormal. Because research, it doesn't matter which research you take. The only difference they will argue are that we are not at 80, we are at 12, we are not there, we are there. But the effect of the matter was still high on the issue of cost and so on. That's the view we have. Of course, following the presentation, you see that that's the trend, which everyone seems to agree. So we hope that by tomorrow when we enter into discussion, we'll look into those particular matters more closely and see how to move forward. But we urge that all parties presented and those that are going to come to present, that must preoccupy us. You know, we're talking with one member, was saying, are you aware that in UK at one time, the people reported there against mobile operators, the matter went to court, and so on. The operators took the decision to go to the court if he said he got more than the rituals they have to lever for implementation and so on. So sometimes if we think that this matter is the domain of operators and the regulators and so on, I think we're mistaken. We must go back in history and check what happened in other countries when people thought that they are in total control of things. And consumers, they've got no say, they've got no power, they can't do anything. If Shasu can go back and check other countries, history will tell you that you can do things this much. At one point, it reaches a saturated point. And when that point is reached, the difficult things that moving forward from there is no rationality. This becomes subjective. And you must be able to do things where still have a chance, where things can still be done objective. And so on. So, for us as public representatives, all what we have to do is to continue to represent the interests of those who vote us into power, which are the voters in South Africa and so on. So, and we'll continue to make sure that when the system in place does not seem to hold, we'll come in and voice the mandate of those who elected us into power and so on. But all that I'm saying, we cannot put our heads into a sand and behave that things are normal. Various sectors in the country can see a lot of unrest. Probably we think that in ICT might not come because we are sophisticated. But think twice about that because really people have started to be smart and understand things. Our people are starting to be smart and understand things. As
the regulator, I went to Bushbuck Grid, they were asking them why that company should expire, where is my money? You see, you at one point not follow that, but you see that people start to ask relevant questions, pertinent questions, which affects the applicants and so on. So our people are becoming better. The chance of busy doing this or that is becoming stiff. I remember in one point we asked exactly, what are we paying when you say 10 minutes? Can someone break down the price? That's the question was coming from the ordinary person. And when you say 2 rand per minute, what am I paying in that minute exactly? Can someone break them down it and say you pay 1, 2, 3, 4? It's what you call in your language transparency pricing. Because we don't have the transparency. You see, the problem of this thing of saying do this and do this, but somewhere we don't want to be transparent, that's become a problem. I think the regulator must help us to start to go to transparency in pricing so that I know if it's 2 rand per minute, what is this 2 rand I'm paying for exactly? Can someone tell me? We know petrol, there is a tax, there is this, they can break it down for petrol. Why is 10 rand? This 1, 2, 3 and so on, how much it costs. But in this sector of communication, that becomes difficult to know exactly what are you paying exactly. And those are the things we need to start to deal with so that we know what we're paying in the funds and the other things and so on. That will help us to move forward nicely. Once we are reaching there, I don't think there will be any problem because people will understand exactly what are they paying for and so on. Councillor Stuke, I can see that I'm not adding headache to your work. You presented very well this one. And we're happy that the regulator knows what's supposed to be done. The question is that why it's not been done. And we have took note of the issues we have raised, why possibly we are not doing it, and the policy, DOC, and so on. With that, I think we have just to call it a day. We'll meet tomorrow, 4:15 again. The same venue here at C249. And tomorrow, members will be able to elaborate and questions and other things and so on. I know members. There will be somewhere, I'm not sure where, what time, and so on. I'm trying to get it from the committee. Or your dinner will be at 6. But what we can do, we can try to check whether we can reduce the waiting time. Because I know you want to help. And we want to digest this information from DOC, ICASA, and so on, and the presenter, so that tomorrow we are sharp in your deliberation and so on. So we try to check the possibility of that. Probably don't leave members before we confirm that, so that by the time you leave, we know exactly what the time and so on. Otherwise, thanks very much for everyone. It's been a good voting and time.